or back to, I should say, Philippians 3 and 14. Praise God. How many days, Ricky? 30. Oh, yeah, counting down, counting down. Praise God. What an exciting thing to know the good things that God will bring into your life. The blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and he adds no sorrow with it. The world is full of sorrow. The world has an excess of sorrow and wants to heap more on you. But I'm thankful that the blessing of the Lord is what we can look to and call upon and believe that the Lord is going to do a good work. Praise God. Philippians 3 and 14 is where we started a few weeks ago. Let's finish it up here tonight, the Lord willing, and talk about the high calling. Amen. Let's read together Philippians 3, 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And what concerned me when I read in the Old Testament about the high places, the idolatry, the foolishness of the people of Israel, the ones who knew the name above every name, as far as their revelation was concerned, the ones who saw miracles, signs, wonders, incredible blessings from God, and yet they went after these high places. I don't want us to make that mistake. I want us to keep our eye on that high calling. Amen. And it's still a puzzle to me. How could they have missed it? How could they have gone off on that tangent from truth? It's amazing. But I don't have to understand their mistake. I just don't have to repeat it. Amen. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, in the apostles' day, there were still high places, high places of idolatry. In fact, Caesar called himself God, the Roman emperor, and his reaches, his power, his political machine infiltrated every area that they conquered, and Palestine being one of them. And Pilate being the governor, whose name we're familiar with and from the crucifixion of the Lord. And all of the aspects that were there, there was no lack of idols. There wasn't. Yeah, you would think after some progress in knowledge and education, after some ability in technology and architecture and so on. And you have to realize some of their architectural achievements are pretty astounding. They exist yet today. And in Paul's day, in Peter's day, the different apostles, they had these high places to deal with as well. In Acts 17, Paul was delayed a bit. He was waiting for others to come. And he remained in Athens, and as he took a little bit of a break, if you will, from his missionary journey, his spirit was stirred within him, the Bible says, because he saw the whole city given to idolatry. And we know some of the detail that the writer Luke adds, that they even had an inscription to the unknown God. They didn't want to leave anybody out. They had all of these other idols. They had all of these other situations that they dealt with, but they even included the unknown God. Well, Paul got up to preach, and him that you worship unknowingly, that's who I declare unto you. And he preached Jesus and the resurrection. Praise God. What a powerful presentation that he made in the face of something that would be somewhat unknowing. In Ephesus, Acts 19, some amazing things that happen in that chapter. 12, followers of John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the name of Jesus when they heard the preaching of Paul. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? On the radio, Sister Glover and I were listening to a guest who was being interviewed about speaking in tongues. And his comment was, there's one very small Pentecostal group that believes you must speak in tongues for salvation. And not too hard to imagine who he was talking about. But that was his comment. And then he went on to just, you know, do the usual gloss over and misunderstand 1 Corinthians 14. That's what he gets for reading someone else's mail. And he's not. But Paul was looking for divine verification. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? According to that man, they would be able to say, we believed. We shook the preacher's hand. We signed the role of the church. We've received. That isn't what Paul was looking for. And even if they answered, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost, and that's what they did answer, Paul didn't explain to them in those circumstances or those requirements, that's what you have to do to receive. No, he was looking for divine verification. And that's what we do as well. And they were baptized, we know, in the name of Jesus, re-baptized, because they'd been baptized under John's baptism, but now they're baptized again because they needed the name, which is above every name, the name of salvation in their hearts, in their souls. And then they received the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. I'm thankful that the consistency is there in the Word of God, a pattern that is established. Okay, so that's one of the events that happened in Acts 19. Special miracles also happened. Handkerchiefs and aprons were given to the sick from Paul. Diseases and demons departed. Man, that's pretty special. That's pretty powerful. God was doing some good works. Seven sons of Sceva thought they would copy, they would go along, they would do what was being done before them, and they saw it, and they went to the demon possessed man and said, "We adjure you, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches." And then the devil spoke to them. Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. Who are you? And then proceeded to beat the fire out of all seven of them. That's, you know, you got to be, that's why the name is so important, see? That's why it's so important. And spending time with the one who has that name. Because even the devil will know you then. And you'll have authority and power to be able to step forward. Amen. And then there was a bonfire. And books worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Wow. That's quite a collection. Quite a library of books of occultic arts. And that's the high places, again, that the apostles had to deal with. This idolatry that was able to sneak its way into people's lives by curiosity, by wanting to obtain knowledge. Now understand, the devil has power. He does. He is not anywhere near as powerful as the Lord, not even close. And the scripture we hold to, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But I in myself am not more powerful than the devil. That's why I've got to maintain that connection with the one who is in me, the Spirit of God that dwells within, praise God, so that I can have the power that the Lord promised to give us. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, Luke 10:19. Thank God for that power. But now in Ephesus, the same place all of these things happened, there was a goddess, Diana. And the silversmith, Demetrius, recognized that if all people were converted from worshiping Diana, the idol, then their income would dry up. we're not going to be able to sell any more of these little replicas of Diana or Artemis, however you want to term her. She went by different names. But these guys recognize that's our income. That's our trade. That's our livelihood. And these guys are preaching against it. So the uproar, the riot that took place, and they made their accusation. Here's what they said in Acts 19:26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia. This is their accusation now. Throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. He's confronting the high places. And as he did so, the riot broke out. How long did they scream, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians"? Do you recall? Long enough for their voices to go hoarse. Long enough for them to just have screamed their tonsils out. For 2 hours, they carried on. And this was in defense of their God who couldn't defend herself, I guess. Well, we know that's true. Eyes that can't see, mouth that can't speak, ears that can't hear, hands that can't help. How stupid. But yet, that was their carrying on here. It's no wonder then that John would say, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Because they confronted them. They dealt with them. They were up against those situations that required them to be powerful in the presence of God and not just be speaking about what was taking place or what happened in history or what happened in the book of Acts. They had to have it right then. Obviously, they didn't have the book of Acts. They were writing the book of Acts. But the potential is for us to simply look in the book of Acts and say, that's the way it used to be. We don't see it anymore, but that's the way it used to be. No. We see it now. We're confronting those idols now. Let's look at the Amplified again from 1 John 5:21 and define again this aspect of an idol. Anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God from any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Anything that would take God's place, first place in your life, can be an idol. And that's what John was pleading, little children. Now, he's not being condescending. He's not being, trying to elevate himself and put down everybody else. No, remember Jesus said, except you receive the kingdom as a little child, you're not going to enter in. And so he's emphasizing this aspect of how necessary it is to continue in that place. Now, Ephesians 6 and verse 12 and the verse preceding it has the word against about 5 times. Against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, we stand for some things, and we stand against some things. I don't want my ministry, I don't want my life to be totally against. I'm against that, I'm against this. We do have to stand against. But oh, thank God we can accentuate the positive and know that is what we stand for. Amen. And the blessings of God. Hallelujah. And you talk about principalities and powers. I'm glad Colossians 2:10 is there. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. And he's the one who completes you. Not only is he the head of all principality and power, and that's what we're against in terms of wickedness that's going to come against the church, against truth, against you, but you are complete in the one who is the head of all principality and power. And certainly, the spiritual wickedness in high places is what we see at work yet today. Schofield, a Bible scholar, in the margin says those are the heavenlies. But I think when we consider the highest court of the land, the highest office in our land, and the direction that we see some things going right now, we know high places need the Lord. Amen. Amen. The organization. Besides the fact that I've got to stand against, and it works a whole lot better if I'm unified with my brother and my sister. There's a whole lot more strength there. Amen. And I stand against those things. Another thing that I get out of this verse is I see the unity that the devil has. And the unity that the devil has can defeat a church that is divided. See, that's why there's got to be a recognition of I need to have a forgiving spirit. I can't let, in fact, that verse of scripture that says we're not ignorant of his devices. The verse before that emphasizes forgiveness, I think, four times. That's one of his devices, is to harbor bitterness and so on in our heart. No, we're not going to be ignorant of what he's trying to do there. We're going to make sure we're following through against these forces that are coming opposed to you. So this organization of ogres, if I can refer to that, to them as that, the unity of the underworld, whatever they are. I'm going to be single-minded in serving God. Amen. I'm going to be in unity with the church. Now, that's not an end in itself. Unity for the church is not an end in itself. It's to bring us into the presence of God, and there's where our power comes from. Amen. Two or three agreeing together, Jesus said. Thank the Lord we can have that kind of unity, because there are high places that are going to influence and try to detract from not only your experience, but from the whole aspect of serving God. This is why the apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Now, verse 4 says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not human. They're not fleshly. We're not going to roll around in tanks. We're not going to be shooting rockets, you know, all of that sort of thing against a spiritual enemy. It's not going to work. But we do have weapons. Praise God. They're not fleshly, they're spiritual. And they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now verse 5 goes on and says, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Now what's a high thing in this instance? Paul goes on to say, it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that's going to try to elevate itself against God, against the things of God. Now, creation, evolution, that debate goes on and on. I know what I believe, and sometimes I feel like I don't need to debate it because it's not going to change anything very much at all. But I do need to take a stand, because that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And we understand why. Because to do away with deity is to do away with accountability. Very simple. What they forget, though, is doing away with deity is to do away with the divine helping hand that is there to minister against cancer and against heart disease and against diabetes and against any of the other things that we've seen God do a work. Amen. And they push that aside, too, much to their hurt and their destruction. But thank God we're able to hold on to that. And we then are going to cast down those high things, those imaginations, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And this high thing in the Amplified is what's proud and lofty. And it wants to assert itself against the things of God. But the Bible admonishes us, have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. The mind of Christ dwells within us, and that's what we want to hold on to. Praise God. The armor that Ephesians 6 goes on to describe. What protects your head? The helmet of salvation. What protects the vital organs of your abdomen? Okay, we recognize then that these things that God gives us have great effectiveness. Not just a thrill and a chill. Woo, that's so wonderful. I was speaking in tongues. No, there's power that God is imparting to you. Amen. The helmet of salvation is going to protect your mind because the devil comes and tries to pollute your thoughts. And certainly with the internet and the junk that's there, he attempts in every way to do that. But thank God, we're going to cast that down. It's not going to be what is going to exalt itself against God. I've got the helmet of salvation. I've got the breastplate of righteousness. Praise God. I'm going to continue on in the power of God and know a high calling that he has provided for me. Thank God for the high calling. It's high. It's holy. Most high is how God is described 49 times in the Word of God. And all of them are ascribed. Every time that phrase, most high, appears in the Scripture, it is referring to the Lord. Not referring to an earthly king, not referring to a potentate who has principality over a certain region. It all refers to God. He is the Most High. Isaiah saw him high and lifted up. Amen. A great revelation. And then a great experience as the Spirit of God would minister to him in that situation, and an angel directed to touch him with a coal from off the altar. What a powerful thing that happened. But that wasn't the end of Isaiah's seeing the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah 57 and 15, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. This is the Lord making that declaration to Isaiah. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Praise God. Keys to revival. And recognizing, I need you, God. I need you. Amen. Casting down those imaginations that would make me feel I'm self-sufficient. I'm a self-made man. No, I need the Lord. Praise God. I need to reach for him who is high and lifted up. I need to know there's a high calling that he's provided. I'm thankful that Jesus in his ministry would lift people up. He touched lepers and lifted them up. A blind man one time, he led him out of town. Now, a blind man is going to count the number of steps, right, to an intersection. He's going to know if he turns left and goes 20 steps, he is at one particular shop. If he turns right and crosses the little street, he knows how many steps to the next curb, if there was one, or cobblestones or whatever, and he knows how many more steps to the bakery and all of that. Jesus led the blind man out of town. That sounds inconsiderate, if not cruel. Taking him away from what was all that was familiar to him, removing him from what he could be confident in as far as his ability to get around. Sometimes the Lord leads us that way, and you feel at a loss. But this is what the Lord's doing. He's trying to show you something more powerful. He's trying to bring you to the next level. He's trying to help you to take a step of faith and trust and see something happen that you've never seen before. That's what literally happened to this man. Yes, he may not have known his way back to town very easily, but he didn't have to know. He could see now. Praise God. And he walked back into the town seeing. Thank God the Lord raises up and delivers and blesses. Praise God. The demon possessed were delivered and lifted up. The dead 12-year-old daughter was lifted up. Jesus lifted up himself in John 8 when the accusers were going on and on about this woman taken in adultery. And Moses' law says she should be stoned, but what do you say? And they're trying to trap the Lord. Jesus stood up to those who condemned her. He stood up to lift condemnation from the adulterer. He said, sin no more. Praise God. Jesus is a great weight lifter, isn't he? Amen. Thank God he can lift the load of sin. He can lift burdens and sickness. He can lift fears and worries. He can lift insecurities and concerns about the future. Thank God the Lord knows how to raise up. Praise the Lord. And John in jail, John the Baptist in jail, he had been a solitary figure for most of his life. His parents were quite elderly when he was born and probably passed away fairly soon, maybe into his teen years. But John, very much a solitary figure, someone who was quite different, both in his ministry and his lifestyle. And now here he is, solitary again, in jail, for telling the truth. Not because he had done something wrong, not because he'd gone off, but no, he's basically preaching against, you know, the high places that could imprison him. So he dispatched two of his disciples with the question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? How did Jesus answer? Jesus said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's proof. Praise God. Not an argument, not a philosophy, not a thought, not a treatise or dissertation. Proof. Praise God. The power of the Lord to bring about a change. Oh, thank God for resurrection. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The resurrection of the Lord is the reason we can have overcoming faith and hope in our own resurrection. Praise God. He will raise us up in the last days. Praise God. But I'm thankful that he has raised us up even now. 1 Corinthians 6 and 14, the context is the power of the name. Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name and by the Spirit. That's the context of verse 14. And here's what it says. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Amen. Thank God that's what he does. Amen. You look at Brother Nyman, pastor in Carmax, Yukon Territory, and you are seeing a miracle. I look at you and I'm seeing miracles. But you read Brother Nyman's book, and my word, some of the terrible things that he had become involved in, the levels that he had sunk to. He testifies in his book how that he would see bums on Skid Row, and they had money to do heroin. They had money to do, kind of the upper class type things. And they would mock at the winos on Skid Row, but it wasn't very long and that he was one of them, just sinking lower and lower. And that's what the devil does. Yes. Sinking down and down. But thank God the Lord raised him up. Amen. Raised us up as well. 2 Corinthians 4 and 14. Then this is the chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians is very, very powerful. This is the light shining in darkness, shining in our hearts in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All of these beautiful verses that are there. Here's what verse 14 says. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that there is that kind of power. Amen. Very quickly, our time's going. Ephesians 2. 4 through 6, notice the us in here. He loved us. He quickened us. He raised us up. He made us sit together in heavenly places. Thank God for the unity that the Lord has put in the church. And all of the aspects that he does to us individually is something we recognize collectively, and we pray for one another, we rejoice with one another, we work together because we are working with him. Praise God. And oh, that raising us up, hallelujah, is going to happen. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, Paul said. And this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. I'm glad that's the direction. See, that's why the high calling is so important. That's why I've got to stay focused on it. That's why it's got to be in the forefront of my mind, in my heart, in my life. That's why it's got to be a priority again and again. I can't let myself just become lax and feel like I'm going through the motions. Thursday night, time to be in church, almost over. We're going to pray. We're going to fellowship. We're going to go home. Then Sunday's going to come. No, I can't let it become a routine. Amen. It's a habit. Thank God, a good habit. But oh, thank God it's alive and powerful as I seek the hand of the Lord and desire his blessings in my life, because I want to hold to the high calling and let the Lord have the high place in my life and not let something else or someone else occupy that place. Paul said, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? You are the temple of God if the Spirit dwells in you. Praise God, and thank the Lord that there would be that proclamation that the Lord would say, I will dwell in you and walk in you. I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. Praise God. What an incredible covenant. What a wonderful relationship that the Lord would direct us to. And thank God that we would know that power and that blessing. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Coming to a close. They themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. See, that's what it is. It's turning to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Praise God. There's that high calling again. That's what I want to hold to. That's what I want to grasp. That's what I want to prioritize. Amen. Not just in a mental function, a mental work, but an understanding there's an experience that I got to have in my life that is going to grab a hold of that. And even in times when my mind is numb with trouble, with problems, with difficulty, I still am going to have the priority. I'm not going to lose that high calling. I'm not going to lose my grasp on his grace and his hope and blessing that he's put in my life. I'm going to hold on, and he's going to bring me through. Praise God. Oh, yeah. That's the kind of God we serve. He's done it so many times. We've seen so many examples. Amen. The book of Acts, and in our lifetime, we've seen the Lord work and move and bless. And in your life, praise God, thank the Lord that we can be an example of the Lord raising up, lifting up, amen, and continue to be a witness, continue to be a testimony to others who need to understand there's a God you can trust. There's one that you can turn to. He's alive and powerful. There's one that you can put your eyes upon, and he is high and lifted up. He's not mediocre. He's not meager. He's not mundane. He's not of this world. He is all powerful. He is almighty. Praise God. The world's losing the glimpse of that. They're not understanding this word like they used to even 10 years ago. And there's despisers of those that are good. That the prophecy that Paul spoke in 2 Timothy, despisers of those that are good, that's happening now. That's the prophecy of the end time. Perilous times that shall come. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We see that all around us. And oh, thank God, your light continues to shine. Amen. And oh, God, help us not to stumble or not to look at what's down around us. No, I want to keep looking for him. Praise God. And see the high calling being fulfilled in my life. Forgetting those things that are behind. All those mistakes, all those failures, all those problems. Forget those things. God has forgotten them. He said, I'll remember your sins no more. Oh, that's the beauty and wonder and power of confession to the Lord and his blood cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Confessing our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's awesome, isn't it? Praise God. The power of the Lord to be there for us. So we continue on. Amen. And somebody ridiculing? Use that as an opportunity. I get offended sometimes, and somebody ridicules. By God's grace, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to say, you know, that's right. And let me, can I tell you about it? Can I, yes, I am a Bible thumper, praise God. And can I tell you why? Amen. Instead of being offended, instead of, you know, intimidated. No, a boldness. Amen. A holy boldness. See, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We'd like to introduce him to the fivefold ministry sometimes. And you know, but the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I've got to remember that. I need a holy boldness. Amen. Because sometimes the ridicule really does have a curiosity. And they really do want to know. But what they don't know, they don't understand. And so there's a wall that's there. And that's what I've got to be able to pierce through the power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing that God gives to us. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Oh, yes, a high calling. Praise God. Pressing toward that mark. There's pressure that comes against us. There's you know, peer pressure, and we oftentimes will designate that for the youth, and certainly there is a great amount of peer pressure, but in reality, we all have peers. All of us do. Thank God for the brothers and sisters in the church and the encouragement that we get from one another. But we all have peers who are going to question, ridicule, even persecute, and exert pressure to try to get you to slack off in your commitment to God. Try to get you to step back from your pressing toward the mark. Try to get you to detour and turn away for the prize. And they mock it, you know, and oh, pie in the sky, in the sweet by and by when you die, and all this kind of stuff. I thank God for the blessings I receive every week. I thank God for the goodness that the Lord applies to us in his power and his goodness. Amen. And I'm not looking just for, you know, something that's going to come. But oh my, what is going to take place in the eternal realm is far, far beyond anything. The total culmination of everything that we've received from God is not even going to be a blink compared to what we experience on the other side. Oh, yeah, it's going to be incredible. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. That high calling that God gives to us. Let's come and pray here for just a few minutes tonight. And yet the concern is there in my heart. In the same way that the people of Israel lost their walk with God and went after idols, and again, I just cannot wrap my mind around that. How did that happen? In the same way, there's a concern in my heart that all of us here Sterling Pentecostal. Don't miss the high calling. Don't settle for something less. Keep reaching. Keep pressing. Keep your eye on that goal. Amen. Amen. Bible college professors would say it in our classes. There are only about 15 of us in that senior class. Some of you here are not going to make it. And I'd hear him say it. And I'd determine in my heart, it's not going to happen to me. It may happen to somebody else. And God bless my brothers, bless my sister. I don't want them to stop. I don't want them to fail. But it's not going to happen to me. I know where I'm going. I know where I came from. I have no desire to go back. Oh, I want to see the Lord high and lifted up. Hallelujah. And the sad fact is, there are some of my classmates, Conquerors Bible College 1972, that are not walking in this truth today. Oh God, help us, help us, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Can we reach out to the Lord together right now? Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Fellowship with my brother and my sister, God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Shaddai, Atila, Lakos, Solon, and Emad, and Emad.